changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more.
Today I want to talk to you about resilience. We have a system for finding speaking clients for me. My goal is to do about 20 to 40 speaking events a year, live or virtual, and that's what we usually attain. The things changed, of course, during the pandemic, but of course, that's when the virtual began to take off and I built the studio, etc. And one of the things that I like to do is actually get to know potential clients, interview them to see if I think I'm a good match, to see if I can make what it is that I want to say relevant to their audience. And so my assistant sets up these meetings through a program called What's Hub. I had a meeting yesterday with a group that puts on 6 resiliency conferences a year. Resiliency. Let me say that again. Being resilient. And I thought, wow, that just seems like the ultimate perfect connection for me personally, but also for my message, the complaint-free message. Because when you're trying to bounce back from something, complaining about what happened or what is happening is totally counterproductive. So I was really looking forward to this call, and I saw that it was, and I, by the way, it turned out to be a great call, and there's no but. In fact, it was better. When I got on the phone with this wonderful man and began to understand what resiliency means in their terms, their association is made up predominantly of business risk managers. Now, we all know that they're business risk managers, but I've never really given it much thought as to what they do. So let me give you an example. A business risk manager's job is to think, when we have not had any sort of a major pandemic in the last 100 years, nonetheless, be prepared before COVID with a plan in case all 40,000 of a bank's employees had to suddenly work from home. And yet think even further, what if the entire economy were shut down and that bank still needed somehow to process loans to people and to do all of this with none of it having happened in over 100 years? This is building your ark before it rains. And so resiliency, the way this man explained it to me was, the businesses that came back after 9/11, and he took him saying this to me 3 times for me to get it, the businesses that came back after 9/11 were the ones who had a plan. What if there was a major world terrorist attack that affected the United States, the world economy, etc., etc., etc.? And so when something like that happened, they sat down and they simply pulled out the plan and they executed it. To me, that's amazing that there are people whose job it is to get up on a daily basis and to think about whatever could go wrong, would go wrong. What if an alien attack, whatever. I mean, some of that sounds like a lot of fun. However, it's also a big weight and a very big responsibility. I think that we need to be business risk managers in our own life. And one of the things that he told me about them is that there tends to be a large amount of turnover because business risk managers are paid to ask one question, and it's the same question that people who struggle with worry ask. It is the question that the ego loves to use to grab you as quick as nothing grabs you faster than this question. Your ego asks it all the time. And your ego wakes you up with this question in the middle of the night all the time. You ready for the question? It's only two words. What do you think it is? What if? What if? What if there's a pandemic and all of our employees have to work from home? How are we going to structure that? Do we have the software? Do we have the technology? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What if? What if? What if? I remember when I was in radio, one of the things that I learned was that successful stations, what if to death, what might happen? And here's what I mean. Successful stations always ask themselves, what if someone knocks our tower down? What if there's a power outage? What if, what if, what if? Because a radio station, especially then, you got to understand, when I was in radio, that was in the 80s and 90s and early hundreds. And back then, people counted on radio. That's where you got all your information. And in a crisis, radio got it to you faster than anything. So radio could never go off the air. So we constantly asked, what if? Most of the radio stations had agreements to put antennae on each other's towers. That's true. In case one radio station went down because their tower collapsed, because of a tornado, which actually happened to WCOS in my hometown, they could never go off the air because they had another antenna on another tower. So think about all that. Now, we can what if and try and catastrophe proof our lives for the rest of our lives and still get struck by something we did not see. So my suggestion is, yes, make a plan, but then release to the plan. In other words, if you're worried about, I don't know, your finances, work on your finances. If you're worried about your health, work on your health. Make a plan. If you're worried about your relationships, work on your relationships. And then once you've made your plan, let it go. I forgot that they always dump the dumpsters on Thursday mornings, and I've got my wall open. I'm not done. Hang on just a second. I got to close the wall. It's about to get noisy. Many years ago, I saw a movie on living in Hawaii and how you could live like you were outdoors. And that's what I always wanted. I'm not in Hawaii and that's okay. But I love the fact that I can just leave the wall open while I sleep. It's just amazing. So yes, have contingencies for the major areas of your life. Think about them, maybe even write out a plan, but then let it go. Stick it in a drawer because chances are you are going to experience things that you don't even have plans for. The other thing is when the question comes to you, what if? The answer is, I'll handle it. What if this? I'll handle it. What if this? I'll handle it. What if this? I'll handle it. And then if you need to, you go back and present your resume to your ego. I do that all the time. Here's my resume. I handled this. I handled the death of my brother. The morning, being told the morning I was about to walk on stage to give a speech. I've handled the death of my mother, my father, etc. I've handled divorces. I've handled many things. And I'm always like, I got this. I can do this. So when your mind starts to say, what if, your response needs to be, I got this. I got this. The only other suggestion I had for you was maybe even to hire somebody to worry for you. And here's what I mean. If you're concerned about what if this, what if that, get a therapist and talk it through and build through your plans. But realize your ego is never going to run out of what ifs. It is wanting to control you. It is wanting to make you fearful. The easiest thing to do is to say, what if? And yet the interesting thing is, here we are. You know, I always love that old saying, today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday. Today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday. You know, I told you I was going through a challenging situation, and one of the things that I am living with, experiencing, is my lack of control. You know, my lack of my powerlessness, I guess, as they would call it in 12 step. Because you're not, let's just leave it at that. And so what I did was, I thought to myself, what are the possible scenarios as to how this can play out? And what are the most likely ones? And also, what's the ones that I want? What do I want? And what am I willing to accept? So I wrote all of those out. Saw, yes, I actually did this, okay? Because I was being woken up in the middle of the night with what if. And last night I had an awesome night's sleep. The night before I had a great night's sleep. I'm sleeping wonderfully, waking up in a good mood because I have written out a plan. I am a business risk manager for my own life. I've said, if this, then this, and if that, then that, and if that, then that. And you know what? Here's the thing. And it can also be something I have not even considered. And that's the other thing I found interesting, is that when the COVID pandemic struck, a lot of business risk managers who had never been tasked with prepping the company for a pandemic were now all of a sudden given the task of getting the company through it. Okay, you've got to figure out how to get us through it. We have no plan, nothing's on the shelf, nothing to execute. You're new, but we've got to survive, and you have to figure out how to do it. That's life sometimes, friends. That's putting one foot in front of the other. That's getting up and giving gratitude that you got feet. That's saying, no matter what it is, I got this. You know why? Because all those things in the past, I had those. And the next thing that comes, I'll have that. I am resilient. I plan and prepare, and then I release, knowing that I got this. And by the way, all of these companies, I think, rest in a slight assurance that they have a higher power. In that, a government, in most cases, that has a somewhat interest in keeping them going so that the economy is going. The more you realize that you've got something bigger than you, you can call it God, Buddha, your cousin, what did Wayne Dyer say? You can call it Louise, it doesn't matter. But when you think of something that's bigger than you so that you don't have to carry it all at the risk, and you go, you know what? You got this. I don't got this. You got this. I got this because you got this. Ah, lot more peace. So listen, I want you to have resilience. Think about that. Claim resilience for yourself. Claim yourself as being strong. You're never defeated until you give up. One of my favorite quotes is by Robert Allen. You don't drown by falling in water. You drown by staying there. Let's see who else is here. And what do they have to say with me? Say, this morning. Trish Parr says, hi, everyone. Missing the manatee spot. So beautiful where you live. So different from snow and cold in Chicagoland. And that was my story. So this morning I got up, as I always do, at 5:30, and put together my backpack. I literally have a backpack with two towels on it, and a squeegee, and flask, thermos of coffee, and journals, and you know, it's like I'm taking an office with me, but I've got to prep it because Teddy and I walk for 2.5 miles, and we come back to the park where the manatees are. And as we were coming back, I was like, because I checked the weather, but the weather is it's transient down here; it changes and transitory. And so as I'm coming back, I'm looking at the clouds and I'm like, Teddy, I think we might make it home, but we're not going to go to the park. And then I'm like, Teddy, we are going to get, and we got soaked. Absolutely. Now you can't tell it with me because I have no hair, but poor Teddy, he's in there right now and just under a pile of clothes trying to dry off. So I was resilient. I thought, what a perfect way to tie all this together. I was resilient by simply going, I'm not going to melt. I'm going to walk in the rain. You can hear my dryer going right now, drying the towels. And I'll be out again this morning. Already had my coffee, and now I'm having some water. So sometimes resilience also involves not saying, how dare this happen to me? You know, how dare this happen to me? You can't deal with something and be affronted that it's occurring at the same time. So much power in the words what if and yet. The power of yet can also be turned over for the positive. That's great, Susan. Very cool. Courtney says, good morning from Montego Bay. I missed a few days. It's good to be back. Courtney, my good friend Courtney, glad to have you back from Montego Bay. I think we're due a phone call if I think this is the same Courtney. Ingeborg, I sponsor or mentor someone in speaking. Oh, no, it's not Montego Bay. It's the Bahamas. Anyway, my Ingeborg says, good morning from Houston. There's Natasha with that great smile. Good morning, she says. So sorry you have gone through so much, but your life lessons and healing approaches are so great, brother. Your positive is... Tivity is a great living example. Thank you. Hi, Will. It's really interesting. Michelle Doherty says, good morning, friends. Michelle, good to see you as always. I want to just real quick, I realize I'm still talking. The comedian Dennis Leary had a really bad life as a child. And you think you had a bad life, take your bad life, add mine, let's add Oprah's and Tim Ferriss's and everybody else's. And anyway, he talks about what a great tool it is. It's not because when life knocks you down, you go, oh, here it goes again, and this is proof. He says, you go, okay, I got this. I've had everything that's gone before, and I got this. So it's actually thank you for appreciating the fact that I've gone through some things and continue to, and always will. And just like you, just like you. So thank you all for that. I'm getting a little confused here. So many of you have posted so many things. Every time I open my mouth, I lose. So let's see if I can just pick up from here. I saw Natasha. There we go. It was Susan. Linda says, teachers and students with virtual learning, resilience. Yes, absolutely. And the key is, you just proved it, Linda. Resilience is not figuring this shit out in the middle of a pandemic. Resilience is know that human beings are carbon-based life forms and are prone to pandemics. So have the plan. The resilience isn't living through it. It's being prepared before. Natasha says, I am resilient. I plan, prepare, and release. Love it, Natasha. Love it. Ed Wilmot, what if can lead to catastrophizing? But I usually choose to act rather than allowing morbid thoughts to get the best of me. Yes, Ed, I am not recommending we what if ourselves to death. I'm in fact saying that we what if only about a layer to leave the rest to God. I think about these people and God bless them. And if you're one of them, but there used to be a billboard for a survivalist company right there next to the yoga studio. And it was all about surviving this and surviving that. And I thought, I don't know, how about just living now? Anyway, Laliko, anybody here for the first time, you got to let us know. And everybody, please click share. You get to click share. You got to click share. Laliko says, hi, Will. It's really interesting. Thanks, dude. Great to hear from you. I know I am resilient, but my manager keeps telling me I need to be stronger. The meaning of strong is very confusing to me these days. You know what, Christelle? Let me see if I might be able to work that in. Great thoughts this morning. In investing, we call it hedging. Thank you. Thank you. Meaning, in case the worst scenario occurs, we won't get hurt as much. Unless we are a hedge fund betting against GameStop. Ah, I love that story. What a rags to riches. No offense, dude. Greg, I hope you didn't get burned in that. But anyway, I just love how when the world stands up and goes, no, you're not going to devalue something we love. Christelle says, things have happened in my life that show me I'm very strong. Yes, they are. Thank you for today. You've helped me so much, says my good friend Ingeborg. My daughter was told she has catastrophic thinking tendencies. wow, that's a drag, Jennifer. I think we all have catastrophic thinking tendencies. Maybe we should explore that without being dismissed for the first time. Look, Kate is here for the first time. Everybody says hello to Kate. There's Ed. Everybody, click share. Here it is, time to share right now. Used to listen to watch a show when I was a kid on music. It was called Time for Sound. Right now is time for share. Everybody click the share button. 5, 4, 3, 2, share. And everybody write the word share in the comment section. I'm going to bless you all. Hopefully see you from the lagoon tomorrow. Looking forward to being back there tomorrow. Kate, great to see you. Bring your friends when you come back tomorrow. Love seeing you all. Thanks, everybody. We're about to hit 1 year live together. Now, I've been doing these for years. You want to go back and watch Jumpstarts? Ashley Day, first one to share. Thank you. Susan, great, shared. Thank you. If you want to go back and overdose on me, there are 600 Jumpstarts on YouTube. Now, most of them are 3 to 5 minutes. Boom, Jerome. All right, y'all keep clicking, saying share. And I will look forward to seeing you all tomorrow. Remember, no one ever complained their way to health, happiness, and success. And you deserve all of them. See you tomorrow.
No more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high.